Hi, I'm Brother Hammett. It's a joy to have you in worship today. If you're worshiping at home, I invite you to prepare yourself and your surroundings. Get comfortable, maybe light a candle or two. We usually celebrate communion on the first Sunday of the month, and you're always welcome to join us for that. Just have a little bread and grape juice or wine for everyone. Please let us know that you're here by scanning the QR code with the camera on your phone or smart device, or simply post a comment in the chat. I pray God blesses you through this service. We'll begin in just a moment.
Welcome to Asbury United Methodist Church. What a joy it is to see all of you here this morning on Pentecost Sunday as we celebrate the birth of the church. And we thank you for being with us. And we also hope and pray that you have a wonderful Memorial Day weekend. I'm Nick Schimmer. I'm one of the pastors here. My colleague is Brother Hammett Evans. He'll be preaching this morning on his Between the Ditches series. We're going to look at whether or not it is ever okay to kill. And so that is what his sermon will be about. And we pray it's a blessing to you. When you have a moment, please log your attendance as you can. You can do that one of two ways. You can fill out the Connect tab that is attached to your bulletin and drop it in the offering plate, or you can scan the QR code that is on the back of the bulletin, and you can log your attendance that way. You can also put in prayer requests and find out about upcoming events here at Asbury. And so if you're watching online, good morning and thank you for being with us. You can scan the QR code that is on your screen. If you're visiting with us this morning, we are so thankful that you are with us at Asbury, and we pray that this time of worship is a welcoming, friendly, and warm one for you. With that in mind, now I invite you to stand up, pass the peace of Christ to your neighbor.
Grace and peace to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Welcome to Asbury. I'm so glad that you're here. As we greet in person, you're welcome to greet each other in the chat if you like. You may also use this time to sign in or download the sanctuary bulletin by scanning the QR codes or by using the link below. May the peace of Christ be with you as we worship together.
Friends, I invite you to stand as you are able and join me for our call to worship this morning, as printed on the first inside page of your bulletin. Coming from different places, we gather as one church, one community of faith, bringing different gifts. We come to offer ourselves as we are. Blessed by one Spirit, we bring our unity of gratitude and praise. I invite you to remain standing for our hymn of praise this morning, America the Beautiful. It's number 696 in your hymn.
Amen. invite you to please remain standing and let us pray together. The invocation also found on the first inner page of your bulletin. Refreshing wind of God, whisper the truth of your love to us. Where we are breathless with sin and regret, breathe new life into us through your mercy and your grace. Where we stand firm in our divisions, remold us with your mighty power, that we might rise in unity and love. Renewing wind of the Spirit, help us recognize our gifts, that we may use them for your glory. For we yearn to proclaim your presence in all that we say and in all that we do. In your holy presence we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom belongs to such as these." At this time, I'd like to invite our children forward to share a special message with Brother Greg Stanzel. The congregation is invited to sing "Jesus Loves Me."
To see if I can get my guest here to stand up. I might need your help. Can you put your hands on him? Yeah, just like that. Let him rest on the floor. Got it. Well, good morning. Y'all doing okay today? Yeah? Did you know that not all superheroes wear capes? Yeah. We're around superheroes all the time. Some of them may be your parents or or your grandparents, or friends of your family. Our superheroes may still be in the Army, the Navy, the Air Force, the Marines, or nowadays, even in the Space Force. Yeah, and maybe a policeman, or a nurse, or a firefighter. Levi, do you know what it takes to be a superhero? Yeah, that's kind of a tough question, isn't it? Well, other than deciding to wear this really cool uniform and do things that are fun all the time, yeah, then what do they do?
So superheroes do is like save people from problems.
Yeah, they do.
And they capture her bad guys, like bandits who done a robbery and stuff.
Yes, they do. They decide to do whatever it takes to keep us safe. And you know what? They make a commitment to do right, even when that's tough to do. That's what Memorial Day is for. You see, some of them died for what they thought was right, and some of them, they are always with us and keep on fighting what we call the good fight all their lives. Some of your family, maybe you now or maybe someday, are boy or girl scouts. Like scouts, one of the things all Army soldiers commit to is to perform selfless service, help others no matter what the cost to themselves. In Jesus' time, soldiers were called centurions, soldiers, protectors. In the Bible, in Matthew 8, Jesus has a centurion come to him. A centurion soldier was a believer, and he wanted Jesus to help heal one of his people. The centurion soldier knew who Jesus was. He said that Jesus and God are the highest power. And if Jesus only says, "You are healed," this person would be healed. Jesus honored his faith, and he healed his person. In the Bible, too, in the book of Acts, Peter meets Cornelius, the centurion. The soldier had great faith, and Peter accepted Cornelius and baptized him. He also baptized all of Cornelius's men. Peter accompanied them because they wanted to do what was right. People who desire to and to act and serve and protect us, well, many of them in this church do this. On Memorial Day, though, we talk about some of those that gave the ultimate sacrifice. They deserve our thank you, our praise, and our prayers. That's what Memorial Day is all about. My friend here, Ree Barnett. Well, you see, Ree Barnett Stansel is my dad, a member of Asbury, an Eagle Scout, a soldier in the Army, a Christian, a good man, and I am thankful for him. All right, can we pray together? Okay. Dear Lord, thank you for the men and women you picked to serve and protect us. Please show your grace to them and to their families. Please let us understand and be thankful and proud of their sacrifices in serving all of us and in serving you. Amen.
I tried to get the two confirmands to come up and join Greg as well, and they went, "No, we're adult Christians now." Couldn't get them up here. Great message, Greg. Thank you. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we gather this morning on this beautiful sunsplash day, as we always do, to praise and worship you, to glorify your name above all other names. We thank you for this time that we can be in community together. We pray for our brothers and sisters who are not with us this morning. God, we ask that you are with them. God, we pray today and give you thanks, as we always do, for the abundant blessings that you pour into our lives. Blessings that are meant for us individually, specifically, and those blessings that you pour through us to be a blessing to others. Help us to see in every moment all the ways in which you sustain us, carry us, and love us through this life. This weekend, on this weekend of remembrance, we gather to remember the empty chairs in our lives. We remember all of those who selflessly sacrificed for our nation. This morning, God, we are thinking about the widow. We are thinking about the children who have lost a parent. We think about parents who have lost a child. And God, we ask today that you are with them and all their loved ones, that you surround them in your love and your peace as they remember those brave men and women who gave so selflessly for us all. God, this morning we pray for those in our community who are hurting, who are in need of healing, who are in need of peace, who are in need of your presence strongly in their lives. We pray specifically for Clifford Smith and for Val Carr. We pray for Gene Hammett and for Mark Schimmer. We pray for David Mackey and Edith Roberts, for Hugh Roberts and Gail Pulley, for Arlen Thomas and Deborah Gangliff, for Bob and Janie Clements, for Marlene Ideker, for Linda Staten. We pray for Richard Blush and Lita Anglin. We pray for Joyce Dennis, and God, we pray for all of those whose names aren't mentioned here, but sit at the top of our hearts, the front of our minds, and the tips of our tongues. We thank you for all the work you are doing in their lives, and we pray that your will be done. And God, above all else, we gather, as we always do, to give you thanks for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, for the one who paid the ultimate sacrifice to set us free of the shackles of sin and death. We thank you for all that he has taught us, is teaching us, and will teach us. We thank you for the power and beauty of this moment where we can bring our burdens and our joys to you. And we thank you for knowing how to do that, for knowing how to pray. Jesus taught us that with the Lord's Prayer, which we'll now say together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. So we invite our ushers forward for this time of offering. I'm thankful for this day that we can remember selflessness. I think that's the theme of our Memorial Weekend. And we're called to participate in God's kingdom in many selfless ways. It's the giving of our time, our talents, giving our financial resources, putting our own opinions away, and putting Christ first in our lives. And so during this time of offering, let us remember all the ways that we are called to give, trusting and knowing that God remains in control over all. Let us pray. Gracious, loving God, we are blessed in this moment that we get to participate in your kingdom, that as your children, you call us to do something in the community around us. We know that the need and the hurt is overwhelming. So help us to see just a small way today that we can do our part to bring people to know your love, to bring people to you through Jesus Christ. We ask all this in his beautiful name. Amen.
Thank you.
Please be seated. We have two scripture readings for you this morning. The first is from the book of Genesis. We'll read chapter 9, verses 5 through 6. Our second reading is the gospel according to Matthew. We read chapter 5, verses 38 through 48. First, the Genesis reading. I will surely demand your blood for a human life. From every living thing, I will demand it. From humans, from a man for his brother, I will demand something for a human life. Whoever sheds human blood, by a human his blood will be shed. From the divine image, God made human things. And now a reading from Matthew. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you that you must not oppose those who want to hurt you. If people slap you on your right cheek, you must turn the left cheek to them as well. When they wish to haul you to court and take your shirt, let them have your coat too. When they force you to go 1 mile, go with them too. Give to those who ask, and don't refuse those who wish to borrow from you. Have you heard it said that you must love your neighbor and hate your enemy? But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who harass you, so that you will be acting as children of your Father who is in heaven. He makes the sun rise on both the evil and the good, and sends rain on both the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love only those who love you, what reward do you have? Don't even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers and sisters, what more are you doing? Don't even the Gentiles do the same? Therefore, just as your heavenly Father is complete in showing love to everyone, so also you must be complete. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Welcome to Asbury, and I'm glad to see you all here in the room today on this Memorial Day weekend, and welcome to those of you who are joining us online as well. If you're just now joining us online, I encourage you to scan the QR code there on your screen, and you can sign in, let us know that you're here, you can give, you can find out about upcoming events in the life of our church family as well. Today we're continuing our Between the Ditches series, and this morning we're considering the question, is it ever okay to kill? So let's begin with a word of prayer. God, we do thank you for being with us today, and we pray now that you will pour out your Holy Spirit on each and every one of us, so that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts may be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, you who are our strength and our friend, our rock and our redeemer. And the people of God said, amen. So where do you get your beliefs? Where do you get your beliefs? I heard about an 8-year-old boy who was talking about that one day with his dad. They were on their way home. And the boy said, Dad, do you believe in the Bermuda Triangle? And the dad said, well, it kind of depends. If you're talking about the place, well, of course I believe that there's that place. But if you're talking about ships and planes disappearing mysteriously, I think that's a bunch of baloney. And the little boy said, well, Dad, I believe in the Bermuda Triangle, and you want to know why? And his dad said, well, sure, son. And the little boy said, well, the other day I was watching Scooby-Doo. Maybe you get your beliefs from Scooby-Doo like that little boy. Or maybe you don't. You shouldn't. But where do you get them? How do you discern what is right and what is wrong? What to believe about God? What to believe about how to live and act in this world. Well, as United Methodist Christians, we don't go to Scooby-Doo or Wikipedia or even Rachel Maddow or even Fox News for our beliefs. United Methodists believe in four sources of authority. We turn to these four things to help us figure out what's right and what's wrong, what to do in particular situations, and to help us to get to know God more deeply. And if you've been United Methodist for a while, you probably know what these four things are, but I'm pretty sure I have a bonus feature for you today, and so you may want to just pay a little close attention today. Dr. Albert Outler said that Wesley himself used these same four sources of authority that we use today, and Outler called them the Wesleyan quadrilateral. My friend Pete Weber calls them the Wesleyan milk stool. And he says that the seat on the stool is Scripture. We rest on the Word of God, the Bible. Without it, you just have a bunch of legs, and that's no fun at all. But contrary to what some folks are saying these days, United Methodists do believe that the Bible is the inspired Word of God. Now, I know that sounds kind of Baptist to some of y'all, But we are different from our Baptist brothers and sisters and other fundamentalists in that when it comes to how we interpret Scripture, the gift of interpretation of Scripture is where we differ. United Methodists are not the Bible says it, I believe it, that settles it people. We're just not. We're not fundamentalists. Wesley gave us two tools to help us to interpret the Bible. The first one we called, or he called, the whole tenor of Scripture. Let's say that one together. It's the whole tenor of Scripture. And that's just another way of talking about the big story of the Bible. The big story, from the very first chapter of Genesis all the way to the last chapter of Revelation. It's the story that the whole book tells. It's the story of God's love reaching out and expanding to more and more people. And it starts off kind of small, but by the end, you see that God is really reaching out in love to all of creation, not just human beings, but every being. God created the world, and although it's broken, God never gives up on it until it's perfectly good once again. So, if you're reading your Bible and you find a story or a verse that contradicts the big story, the whole tenor of Scripture, if it contradicts the big story that the Bible wants to tell, then we can call those individual stories and scriptures into question. The second tool that Wesley offered is that we compare Scripture with Scripture. Let's say that one together. We compare Scripture with Scripture. United Methodists don't proof text. And so just because one verse somewhere randomly in the Bible says something doesn't necessarily make it so. Even if there are two or three or four or five or six verses in the Bible, it doesn't necessarily make it so. I'll give you a great example of that, and that is in 1 Corinthians 14:34. You might know that Paul says women should be silent in the churches. How many of our women have been silent in church today? See how disobedient you are to God's word. But that's in 1 Corinthians 14:34. If you go back three chapters to chapter 11, verse 5, Paul says that when a woman prays aloud in church, she should have her head covered. So how do you reconcile that? Same author, same book. I mean, can women speak in church or not? Well, when you do your research, when you dig into what he's talking about in chapter 14, Paul was addressing a particular group of women in a particular church in Corinth. Not all Christian women in every church for all time. These women were asking questions right smack dab in the middle of church and getting in trouble and being loud. And Paul did not have any use for that kind of foolishness. So Scripture is the seat of the milk stool. We have these two tools, this, you know, comparing individual scriptures with the entire story of the Bible and then comparing Scripture with Scripture. But what holds it up? What gives it support? Well, the first leg in the milk stool is tradition, And so we ask ourselves what Christians of the past can teach us about who God is and how God wants us to interact in the world. Tradition isn't everything, though. Tradition is not everything. If it were, I would be speaking in Greek right now. Amen? And we would be reading our Bible from Greek like our brothers and sisters do up the street. Sometimes new circumstances require us to do new things, and new evidence may call us in new directions in the way that we think and believe. But we do look at the wisdom of the Christian sages and the guidance of the church. The second leg on the milk stool is experience. And Wesley was really talking about our spiritual experience. He believed that just like we have five physical senses with which we interact in the world, we also had spiritual senses with which we interact with God. And so all of us have these ways that we have experienced God and do experience God when we feel a particular connection. Things like prayer and worship and music, devotional reading, communion, and things like that. Our experience is also how we see God at work in our lives from beginning to end, the ways that God blesses us with joy, the ways that God is with us through our pain and through our heartache. So the fourth piece, the third leg in on the milk stool, as my friend Pete would say, so you take scripture, tradition, and experience, and then all of those get filtered through the fourth part of the quadrilateral. They get processed by our reason, by our reason. I said this a few weeks ago, and we're going to come back to it again when we talk about science and faith in a couple of weeks. But John Wesley once said that irrational religion is false religion. In the United Methodist Church, as I said a couple weeks ago, we don't ask you to check your brain at the door, amen? Anybody check their brain when they came in this morning? Don't raise your hand, please. United Methodists believe that faith and reason work hand in hand, not against each other. And so when science makes a new discovery, we don't question the science. We simply appropriate new knowledge into our beliefs. Now, before we dig into our topic for today, we need that bonus feature. We need to add one more thing to our foundation. And this is the part of the Wesleyan quadrilateral that often gets neglected and overlooked. And it's very simple. All of this reflection on scripture, tradition, experience, and reason happens in community. It happens in community. Wesley called that holy conferencing. And conferencing for Wesley was not something you do once a year where you have a big meeting in Hot Springs and you talk about what you've done in the past year and you look forward to what's coming ahead. Conferencing was something that should be happening each and every day, at least weekly, in all of our lives. Conferencing is when we read scripture together in community. It's when we learn about our tradition together. It's when we share our spiritual experiences with one another. And when we reason through these things together as a community of faith. That's why John Wesley once said, there is no such thing as a solitary Christian. He says, a holy solitary is akin to saying a holy adulterer. These two things do not go together. So Wesley would say, you can't just be a Christian on the golf course or out on the hiking trail. We need each other, and we need our differing perspectives in order to see God in truth in all of their fullness. We are in this together. So how do United Methodists approach issues of life and death? Is it ever okay to kill or to take a life? It's important to start with the point that our viewpoint is theological. It is theological. Our belief has to do with what we believe about who God is and who we are in relationship to God and who we are as God created us to be in the world. And so first we begin with the stool of the seat of the milk stool with scripture. So what does the Bible say about life and death? Well, the answer is it's complicated. It's complicated. The first three chapters tell us three important things about human beings. First, we were made in God's image. Let's say that together. We were made in God's image. And then you can look at your neighbor and you can say, and so are you, and so are you. Amen? Everybody in this room, everybody watching online, everybody not in this room and not watching online, is a human being created in God's image. First chapter of Genesis. Second of all, God's Spirit gives us life. If you look at Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, you might remember that God scoops up a handful of dirt and shapes it into a human being. And then what does God do with that? Breathes into it the breath of life. God breathes life into each and every one of us. So every person is, with breath, is connected to God. Third of all, we are all broken by sin. And we talked about that a little bit last week. It's not how God made us, but all of us do things that we shouldn't do, and we don't do things we should. So human life is sacred. Each and every human life is sacred. Because each and every human being was created in God's image and has God's spirit within them. Because our life is sacred, God puts limits in the Bible on taking human life. In the reading from Genesis, Nick shared just a few minutes ago, God says, whoever sheds human blood by a human, blood will be shed. For in the divine image, God made human beings. Because human life is sacred, God puts limits on retaliation in the Old Testament. So the Old Testament law calls for what we call retributive justice. If sin tilts the balance a little bit one way, retribution sets the balances right. At least that's the idea. It's really hard to put that into practice. But if you hit me, I hit you back, and then we're even. My brother's here today. We've done that a lot to each other. Amen? If I kill you, then one of your relatives kills me, and that makes it even. Moses says, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. Now, that's what the Old Testament says, but remember, one of those tools Wesley gave us is that we are to look at the whole tenor of Scripture, the big story of the Bible. And if, say, somebody like Jesus contradicts something that's in the Old Testament, who do we go with? The answer is Jesus. Amen? The answer is Jesus. So this is one of those places where Jesus himself goes above and beyond the demands of the Old Testament law. In our reading from Matthew's gospel, Jesus says, you have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but I say to you, do not resist an evildoer. But if anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other also. And I believe I've told this before in a previous sermon, but Jesus isn't telling us to be pushovers or to just take any violence that is done to us. To slap somebody on their right cheek, you would have to use your left hand or to slap them backhanded. By saying to make them turn or to make them slap you on your left cheek, is to say, make them slap you like an equal, like a human being. If somebody is going to try to do you harm and treat you as less than the human being that you are, then you demand that they at least slap you like a human being. Amen? Jesus and the New Testament authors were not concerned with retributive justice at all. They were concerned with what we call restorative justice. Retributive justice simply sets the balances straight, at least it tries to. But restorative justice is trying to heal the relationships broken by sin. And that big cross that we have in the sanctuary, in most sanctuaries, is a sign not of retributive justice, but of restorative justice. The cross reminds us that Jesus was about reconciliation and restoration, not retribution. Jesus died for people who were killing him. That is restoration and reconciliation. And so as Christians, we are about bringing healing and restoration to people who are broken by sin, just as we are. So that's what Scripture says, but what about tradition? Well, you might find this funny, especially if you're a hunter or a butcher. But when you look back at the early church, we took this life is sacred thing very, very seriously. For almost 400 years, up until Emperor Constantine became the Emperor of Rome, for the first 400 years of Christianity, butchers, soldiers, and hunters could not join the church. And why not? Because we understood that from God's perspective, the answer is no. No, it is never okay to kill. There is always, always, always another way. So that's our Christian heritage, but what do we believe today? What do our experience and our reason tell us? Well, as United Methodists, we believe what the Bible says, that every human being has sacred worth and value. And when I say every human being, I mean that one too. Rich, poor, black, white, gay, straight, male, female, young, old, American, Iranian, Russian, Christian, Buddhist, everything in between matters to God. And each person is entitled to basic, equal human rights. Things like food and shelter and health care and education. One of our core United Methodist beliefs is that God has the power to redeem even the worst of sinners. And if you don't believe that, just look at Paul. He wrote most of our New Testament and inspired the rest of it. But Paul, as a young man, his job was to kill Christians. He personally oversaw the public execution of people who followed Jesus Christ. And yet Paul became the greatest Christian evangelist who ever lived. We would not be here today if it were not for Paul. That is redemption and reconciliation and restoration at work. We also believe that the boundaries of human life are God-given. From beginning to end, human life is sacred. And so that's why, as a denomination, United Methodists believe that torture and the death penalty are off limits. And abortion is only acceptable when the mother's life is in danger. Now, that being said, we also recognize that we live in an imperfect world full of imperfect human beings. So while God always sees another way, sometimes we can't. This is Dietrich Bonhoeffer, by the way. Sometimes there are tragic conflicts of life with life, where the loss of one life saves the life of another. Sometimes, as in war, taking life is the lesser of two evils. But how often do we forget that taking life is always evil? It is never completely justified. Therefore, we should pray for forgiveness any time that choice is regretfully made, as Bonhoeffer himself did. The difficulty, of course, comes when it becomes personal. When we or someone we love is a victim of a violent crime. When we care about a soldier who is in harm's way. When a beloved family member is dying and we don't want to prolong their suffering. Or when a child would benefit from stem cell therapy. Or when we are faced with the decision whether or not to continue a pregnancy. And so that is where it's so important for us to keep it between the ditches. Because, friends, the victim is God's child too. The soldier who takes a life to save others is God's child. The person in agony on their deathbed is God's child. The woman considering an abortion is God's child. And in God's eyes, those are people of infinite value and worth. And so are you, and so am I. Reminds me of Desmond Doss. This is Memorial Day weekend, and if you've never seen the film Hacksaw Ridge, I encourage you to make that a part of your Memorial Day celebration and remembrance. The film Hacksaw Ridge tells the story of Desmond Doss. And during World War II, Doss was a staunch pacifist and a conscientious objector for religious reasons. He was a Seventh-day Adventist. And so he believed that when God said, "Thou shalt not kill," in the Ten Commandments, that God meant that. Nevertheless, he was a patriot. And so Doss enlisted as a combat medic in World War II in order to save lives. And that's exactly what he did. But he never killed. In fact, he disobeyed orders and refused to carry a gun. U.S. Army Corporal Desmond Doss received the Medal of Honor for his actions in the Battle of Okinawa. His battalion was tasked with taking the plateau atop Hacksaw Ridge. They suffered tremendous losses, and Desmond Doss was the only medic to remain atop the ridge. After lowering each man down a 400-foot-high cliff, Doss prayed, "Please, Lord, help me get one more." In the end, Desmond Doss saved somewhere between 50 and 100 men at Hacksaw Ridge. He saved so many men that he lost count. And he also saved several Japanese soldiers. Now, why would he do that? Because Desmond Doss understood that life is about saving others, no matter who they are. And so what if you and I lived that way? What if today and tomorrow and the next day, wherever we are, we made our mantra, "Please, Lord, help me get one more." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and the people of God said, amen. Let us pray. God, we thank you for the gift of life. We thank you for the gift of life from beginning to end. And we thank you for placing us here in your world to reflect your love and your light and your grace to a sometimes dark and broken world. God, we pray that you will help us to respect life in all of the forms in which you have created it. Help us to seek to save rather than to destroy in all that we do. We pray this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, and the people of God said, amen. And now let us stand for our affirmation of faith. Today we're reciting the World Methodist Social Affirmation. It's printed in your bulletin, and it is also found on page 886 in our United Methodist hymnal. We'll read responsively. We believe in God, creator of the world and of all people, and in Jesus Christ, incarnate among us, who died and rose again, and in the Holy Spirit, present with us to guide, strengthen, and comfort. We believe, God, help our unbelief. We rejoice in every sign of God's kingdom, in the upholding of human dignity and community, in every expression of love, justice, and reconciliation, in each act of self-giving on behalf of others, in the abundance of God's gifts entrusted to us, that all may have enough in all responsible use of the earth's resources. Glory be to God on high, and on earth peace. We confess our sin, individual and collective, by silence or action, through the violation of human dignity based on race, class, age, sex, nation, or faith, through the exploitation of people because of greed and indifference, through the misuse of power in personal, communal, national, and international life, through the search for security by those military and economic forces that threaten human existence, through the abuse of technology which endangers the earth and all life upon it. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. We commit ourselves individually and as a community to the way of Christ, to take up the cross, to seek abundant life for all humanity, to struggle for peace with justice and freedom, to risk ourselves in faith, hope, and love, praying that God's kingdom may come. Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. Closing hymn. If you've never professed your faith in Jesus Christ, I'd love to invite you to do that. Just get in touch with Brother Nick or me, and we would be glad to arrange the sacrament of Christian baptism for you. But if you'd like to transfer from another church or denomination, you're welcome to do that on the singing of our closing song. I'm going to sing When the Spirit Says Sing, number 333. Today is fresh from the cover of Frampton Comes Alive. I love you, Leo, and I love your hair. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I love. And your dad actually said that when we walked in, and I've been giggling about it through the whole service. So thanks, Brother Nick. Thank you so much for being here today. We're so glad that you are with us, and thanks to those of you who worship with us online. I do want you to know that the church office will be closed tomorrow in recognition of Memorial Day, so please be aware of that. Next Sunday, Brother Nick will be preaching for us, and this will be the last time that Nick preaches for Asbury, and so I want to encourage you to come out for that and support him, and let's listen for what God says through Brother Nick next Sunday. I want to encourage you to come back for that. Would you please receive this dismissal with blessing? Go forth with Christ above you to be your guide, with Christ below you to hold you up, with Christ beside you to be your friend, and with Christ within you to give you hope, love, joy, and peace. Go forth with Jesus Christ your Lord. And the people of God said, Amen.